United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to hear from Sarah Broussard and Jonathan Hollins, who are the joint co-chairs of the new Cross Country Safety Task Force. But first, Kira Stewart and Heidi Vahew from the Cosequin Stewart Horse Trials join us as they prepare for the 25th anniversary of this event. Welcome back to the program, Kira, first of all. It's been a while since we spoke.
It's been a long time.
How are things up there?
They're fine and lovely, beautiful weather at the moment.
All right. Well, I want to bring in Heidi as well. Heidi, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we're going to talk about this year's event. You'll both be glad to be hopefully up and running again after having missed last year. But Kira, let's go back a little bit looking at the past. Well, it is 25 years you're going to be celebrating this year, isn't it?
That's right. Absolutely. And actually, we started getting ready for a horse trials probably 28 years ago, because Stewart Horse Trials is notorious for our phenomenal land, which has lots of horse moguls, as we call them. And we had no level land anywhere, so we had to start first by finding something flat for dressage. So it took a few years to get ready.
Was this your idea in the first place?
It was a combined effort. Pony Club, our Mendon Pony Club, had lost its home base. We were looking for a new one, plus the fact Heidi was competing nationally then, being one of Karen Van Lendy's first students. And we had no sanctioned courses on which to school, which meant we were driving to Virginia, 350 miles one way, to school. And so it became obvious that we really needed to find an area to have a horse trials that would be sanctioned. And so we looked around, and luckily we have now, which Heidi can tell you more about, five marvelous landowners and beautiful, beautiful property. It's in between the Great Lakes and the Finger Lakes, and thus the moguls. And we started with main competition 25 years ago.
Well, it's come a long way since then. Let's talk about the property. As you say, it's in a wonderful location there in upstate New York. Heidi, tell us a little bit what that looks like out of your window now.
Well, we're not actually on the property. It's different landowners. We don't own any of the land. But the land on the course is literally backyards, side yards, front yards of five different landowners. So, we're literally going alongside of some homes and in the backyards of some homes. And it's gorgeous land, and it's very unique. I've competed all up and down the East Coast, and there's really not another event like ours. The moguls are very unique.
Well, talk a little bit about the organization then, if you would, Heidi, because now you're coming to 25 years. It must have grown enormously over that time. And it all, of course, relies, as the sport does, on volunteers and a tremendous volunteer base there. Give us a sense of what that looks like today compared with what it was 25 years ago.
Well, our committee has grown as the sport has grown. I have many people that work for us on a volunteer basis. We have close to 50 judges. We have a team that just picks up garbage and helps organize things all day called our SWAT team. We have our jump crew that's building the jumps, painting the jumps, and those are paid people. But for the most part, all of my committee, they are all volunteers. And in total, I would say we have around 300 volunteers that help put this event on, and there's no way we could do it without them. So we have people that work on our merchandise tent. We have a silent auction. We have many what I call sideshows during the competition. We have the Highland Games coming for our 25th anniversary, which is world-class athletes competing in the Highland Games, a Scottish sport that's new this year, and we have a kids version of that as well. We've also been able to involve our community. We bring in our local lollipop farm, which brings in adoptable dogs every day. So we parade those for 10, 12 each day. And last year we didn't have the competition, but the year before when we did, all the dogs were adopted. So it was a huge success.
So it's lots more than just the event itself, but of course it relies, as it does with the volunteers, also on the sponsors, Kira. And this is a family of sponsors you've built up over the years, and you've had the support of Cosequin as the title sponsor for a while, haven't you?
Yes, for quite a while, actually. They worked into the naming sponsorship position, and we're had a wonderful working relationship with them, and always look forward to whatever new product they'll be bringing up to show all of us and competitors. Actually, the whole horse trial started with just novice and training, and then we added preliminary, and then intermediate, and then the CICs, and then beginner novice. So it has kept growing and growing and growing. And with that, we do a lot of sponsorship. We sell all of our fences to sponsors, and it takes a lot because the NCC only pays for a very small amount of what it takes to create this whole village that we have to create on these five lovely pieces of land.
So how many divisions will you have this year?
We run beginner novice through CIC 2.
So obviously, three full days, starts on the 11th through the 13th. Tell us a little bit about those Highland Games you mentioned, Heidi, because that's become a tradition, isn't it? There's some Scottish roots there.
We try to accent our Scottish roots every chance we get. We're very plaid. Our sheets that we give out to the winners are always plaid, and our mascot is a chestnut horse wearing a kilt playing the bagpipes. We have a bagpiper that pipes in all the winners at the end for their victory gallop. All the horses that compete at Stewart learn how to deal with bagpipes. So that's one thing they can cross off their list. But this year we are adding the Highland Games, which we have never had before, and there's a fairly local group, the Buffalo Headies, that are coming in, and they compete all over the world, and so they are going to actually have a competition on the Sunday of our competition during our show jumping. So that will be happening in our boutique area. So very exciting. It'll be a huge draw for spectators, and the kids will get to participate as well. We have kid versions of their games, and we even have Velcro kilts for the kids to wear while they do this, so they really can get a taste of what it's like to be a real Highlands game athlete.
Well, to stay in the spirit of Scotland, I wonder if you're going to be voting for independence as well at this year's event. You know that they are voting for independence, don't
they
you?
They are. I don't think we'll do any balloting. I think we'll just keep things as are right now. But one of the cute things is that Heidi was talking about the gamesters, and all of the games involve throwing of some kind. That's why there's a Buffalo Heavy throwers. And the caber, which is renowned for the kids, is actually one of the noodles that you use in the swimming pool, but I manufactured how to put a hole through it so it's rigid.
So it's rigid, so can you explain that?
It can be tossed then like a caber, which is a tree without, you know, just a
right.
large law, and so then this can be used in the same way.
That really sorts out the men from the boys, doesn't it? Well, let's talk a little bit more about the course itself now. Who is the designer?
Derek DeGrazia.
So what
changed? And we've been designing it for quite a few years now.
What changed?
We like to tell. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering what changes there may be to this year's event since Derek's been there a while.
This year, I've walked all the courses and they're all set and laid out. And what I'm noticing this year that will be a bigger challenge for everyone are the trickier lines between the jumps for the upper levels. We have offset rolls, which are sort of raised rolls off the ground, and he has those set offset. They will be very challenging. They're both very round and inviting jumps, but the way he has them set will be very difficult. And the continuing with the corner idea on the preliminary and intermediate levels and the CIC levels, coming out of the water to a corner. We also have jumps in the water for both prelim and intermediate, which we don't always have that. The lower levels are still, the training level even has some combinations, related distance, turning. Very interesting. He always manages to place the jumps in a new way and use some of our same jumps that we've had and ask different questions.
So, Kira, obviously 25 years down the road, you've seen this event evolve considerably. I mean, you must be enormously proud of what you've achieved today. What are you most looking forward to as you celebrate 25 years of the event?
A wonderful, safe weekend, May number one. And seeing old friends, so many of the people that I've known through the years, do come and join us for our competition, and just to see our friends and their wonderful horses, and to experience the joy that it brings.
Can you tell us anything about the entries, Heidi, this year?
One thing I noticed as I was looking through many of our photo albums over the years was it was really fun to see Doug Payne when he was a little teenager and Dara Alexander when she was a teenager. And we have some of those old pictures that we're bringing out, and we have highlighted those. And we have had these same people come into our competition year after year after year, and we've watched them move up the ranks and become international riders. So that's exciting, and we feel like our course has been part of their development, so that's been a lot of fun.
Our first horse on course was the wonderful Connemara stallion, Aaron Gobra, and with Carol Kozlowski. And we had, at that time, we ran novice in training, and we had 76 riders, and we thought we were gangbusters. So we were very proud of ourselves that year. But the very first horse, and I can remember sitting up on the large horse mogul overlooking the water and seeing him come through, and I knew we had a competition then. And Aaron Gobra is no longer with us, having passed away this year, but he was a marvelous, marvelous first horse, and it was always an honor when he would come back and ride our courses.
Lots of horses to celebrate, lots of riders, as you say, over the years who have been a part of the Cosequin Stewart Horse Trials. Well, I want to wish you the very best of luck with your 25-year celebration this year. I hope you have a great, safe event. And thank you both, Kira and Heidi, for coming
on
the program.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you for having us.
And you can find out more information about this year's event, which takes place from July the 11th through the 13th, on their website at stewarthorsetrials.org. The USEA President Diane Pitts announced this week the formation of a new task force related to the safety of the horse and rider while on cross country. Its mission is to explore cross country obstacle construction and design safety. And joining me now are the joint co-chairs of that task force, Sarah Broussard and Jonathan Hollings. Hello and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I said in my introduction, you are both co-chairs of this new task force. So let's start, John, with a little bit of background, really. As an active rider, you know that we have to take every measure and react to every situation possible to improve the safety of the sport, and this is one of them. But just talk a little bit, if you would, about how we've come to this point now to form the task force at the USEA.
So we can all remember back to 2008 when we had the safety crisis, and there's a lot of things that were done, a lot of things that were sort of thrown against the wall, different ideas. And I'd say as a sport, we did a really good job of coming up with different ways of trying to improve the safety in our sport. Now we're removed from that by quite a few years. And I think, as is human nature, you get away from accidents and from tragedies that happen in the sport, and you start to relax. And I don't think anybody thinks that we're okay. But the further away you get from it, the more relaxed you get. And so now, obviously, we've had these two more recent accidents over in Europe. And I think it was certainly, this is an idea that we've all talked about, you know, how do we keep improving safety in the sport? But that sort of spurred us along to say, you know what we need to do is really, we need to form a group, a task force, to keep pushing all of us, the association, the federation, everybody, the FEI, to keep pushing all of us towards finding new ideas. We came up with things like frangible pins and MIMS clips and deformable logs and all of that great stuff in such a short period of time after 2008, or in that 2008 time period. There has to be more. There's got to be more, better, greater ideas, and that's what this task force is about. It isn't about finding those ideas or coming up with those ideas, rather. It's about trying to spur really smart people, way smarter than me, into coming up with them and knowing where to take them.
Well, Sarah, you, of course, are a paramedic yourself, too. You see things from a different angle anyway, as well as being a show organizer. Just talk a little bit about this new task force and what its remit will be.
Well, I feel that, fortunately, I have worn and continue to wear numerous, you know, quote-unquote different hats in the sport of eventing. I've been a competitor. I've been an official capacity running shows. I've been, you know, here, there, and the other place, and now, you know, being on the board of directors or board of governors with the USEA. And, you know, I agree with John very much. I think that, you know, we did a great job in 2008 coming up with a lot of ideas, cultivating the eventing society for ideas and how the people within the sport right now kind of see the path that we need to move forward on. And I'm really excited with the group that we have on this task force. It's a very good mix. We have, you know, people who are very familiar with the rules and in an official type capacity with events. We have active and current riders. We have course designers. We have builders. We have a veterinarian who's also an engineer. So I think that we're going to really be picking her brain on, you know, some of these, you know, some ideas. And just like John said, it's not that we have a bunch of ideas right now that we want to implement. We're trying to find the ideas. We're, you know, I think safety is kind of a continuously changing, morphing thing, because the sport that we're in continues to change and morph. And so continuing to kind of think outside the box and look at things from a different angle and bringing people in who aren't necessarily entrenched in the sport of eventing, but entrenched in the idea of safety. And Dr. Becker's background definitely, you know, speaks to that. So I think it'll be very interesting. We'll hopefully come up with a lot of good ideas, you know, and it's just like in cars, you know, they just keep coming up with new stuff to help keep you safer. We can't completely eliminate the risk of getting out of bed in the morning, you know, but I think that by, you know, continuing to move forward and thinking about it and saying, how can we make it better and safer if things do go wrong? That I think that's really, you know, where we're coming from.
Can you just give us a list of those people that are on the task force with you, Sarah, please?
I will do my best, and John, help me if I forget anyone, because I don't have the list in front of me right now. So Jonathan Holling and I are the co-chairs, and other members include Dr. Kathleen Becker, Tremaine Cooper, Doug Payne, Leslie Law Grant, Jay Hambly and Malcolm Hook. And then our staff liaison is Joe Whitehouse, and we will also be working with David O'Connor.
So the mission, as I understand it, is to explore cross-country obstacle construction and design safety. Jonathan, do you want to speak to that a little bit? Because the construction, as you noted earlier, has evolved and with the help of some safety elements. But how do you see us going forward without making this a show jumping competition and the horses getting used to the fences knocking down where they can? What aspects do you think are the priority of, to look into to fulfill that mission?
I think that's really what we're trying to explore. Now, I guess before I even answer that, the thing that I would say is what we envision this group doing is being a place for people to come to. So, you know, this is just announced, and there's already been emails coming in, flooding our inbox of people within the sport saying, hey, I have this idea, or you should talk to this person or talk to that person. And that's really what we're trying to do, is get people to come, have a place to send their ideas. I think too often as a sport, we all sit around in the warm-up ring at competitions and say, well, if they just did this, it would make so much sense. But those ideas don't always get brought forward. So that's what we're trying to do. And as far as what I envision it being, you know, the thing is, it's really just one guy's vision. You know, I think there's so many different options. You know, I remember going to Chattahoochee Hills ago, and they had a collapsible table. And that was pretty cool. And I know that, you know, it wasn't perfect yet, but if we can help people come up with ideas like that, that collapsed table seemed like a pretty cool thing that never really made the next step. I'm not saying that's going to solve the whole problem, but that's just one additional idea that I could see going forward. And I think it is a fine line, you know? You can't have these things falling down. None of us want to show jump around cross-country courses. But at the same time, what I know is we can't sit back when things like the accidents in Europe happen, you know, and happen to our friends and our friends' friends, and say, well, it's a risk we all choose to take. I mean, we do all choose to take that risk, but the reason we choose to take that risk is because we know that all of us, first of all, love our horses, love our sport, and that we're always trying to make it safer for ourselves. The sport has evolved so much since its beginnings. It's, you know, I think the people who started this in the military would never have envisioned what it's become now. And I think we have to make sure that we keep evolving to keep our sport vibrant, because I tell you what, if we sit back and we just let bad things happen, we're not going to have much of a sport in the future. We got to keep trying to make it better.
Sarah, would you like to add any comments there with regard to the risk element? Because everyone talks about it being a high-risk sport, and, you know, everything we do in life has a risk to it virtually, and not least of all where horses are concerned. How do you address just that very notion of it being a high-risk sport and in the context of its task force and the work that it's going to do?
Well, I agree with John in that, you know, it is a high-risk sport, and, or, you know, kind of not necessarily just John, but the general consensus of eventing. It is a risky sport. It was, you know, before the X Games were created, we were, you know, that's our motto. We were the original X sport. I feel that, you know, like you said, there are risks in life, you know, and you can't prevent everything. But what we are trying to do is prevent the injuries sustained and the damage created when something bad happens. You know, I mean, you know, like I mentioned cars before, people are going to continue to get in accidents for, you know, one reason or another. There's numerous reasons car accidents happen. And it's one of the risks that you take when you get in your car. You may be a very good driver, but you may still end up in an accident. And the idea behind cars is to create a lot of safety equipment within the car to help prevent the injuries that you could sustain when you get in an accident. I think that looking at, you know, cross-country jumping, keeping it brave and bold, because that is the history of it, that is what we want, but then to prevent injury to human and horse, or at least serious injury, definitely, if not, you know, try to cut down on every bit of injury we can by creating some new safety equipment, you know, and in the past, 5 to 10 years, there's been a lot come down the pike that I think has really helped, you know, air vests and improved helmets. And I mean, there, and even some of the rules that we have governing the sport to help keep us a bit safer. And so it's just, it's continuing that mentality, you know, understanding that there is a risk and managing the risk. You know, you can't eliminate the risk, but you can manage the aftermath of the risk, I think is my personal opinion on the sport. And I definitely agree with John. If we continue, you know, if we just sit back and say, you know, oh, well, bummer that happened, you know, he's right. We won't have a sport anymore. We won't have a sport in the Olympics. You know, we do have to protect our sport per se. And in order to protect our sport, we need to protect our horses and our riders, the actual players in the sport.
John, how can members help the task force now as you start to begin the work ahead, which is a huge task because you're going to put your arms around so many different aspects of safety involving the horse and the rider and the course. So what would you say to the membership to try and get their help with the task ahead?
You know, I guess what I would say is they can send any ideas, any suggestions that they have in to the USEA. They will forward those ideas on to our committee, and all of them will be listened to. I mean, some of the things that I have heard over the years, as you look back on them, you think, gosh, that's a little bit crazy. But having said that, if 15 years ago you said that we would have jackets that exploded with air when people fell off, I think we all would have thought, well, that's pretty out there. Or that we would be having, fences that could collapse and horses hit them. I think we would have all thought, that'd be really cool, but I don't know if that's possible. How are you going to make that work? So I guess what I would say is no one should feel that the idea that they have is ridiculous. Everything is fair game at this point. And, you know, I guess the only caution I would say to that is just because you put an idea forward, doesn't mean that it's just something going to happen instantly. All of this has to be given serious consideration. It has to be, you know, like I said in the beginning, a little bit joking, but there's serious truth to it. It all has to be looked at by people that are a lot smarter than me to make sure that makes sense. You know, engineering wise, stuff can work. I don't think any idea that isn't going to be given serious consideration if it looks like something that could lend safety.
Sarah, would you like to add anything to that in terms of, you know, your perspective, of course? You know, you're also Vice President of Safety at the USEA as well. So this is obviously a huge topic for you anyway. Is there any message that you would like to put out on behalf of the task force?
Well, I think, you know, all of our membership, this is on their minds. This is something they think about, whether they are parents of riders, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, or competitors themselves. It's definitely something that we all think about when we do this sport. And that's wonderful and that's great. And also, hopefully, this will continue to cultivate those thoughts. And like John said, you know, we're open to all types of ideas, concepts, that type of thing. But this task force is specifically dealing with, you know, cross-country design, the actual design of the jumps, you know, the shapes, the way they may or may not collapse or give or shear, you know, that type of thing. I know that there's a lot out there involved in, just, you know, quote-unquote safety, you know, the air vests, the helmets, the, you know, all of that, and that's, you know, there is a lot out there to look at and a lot that we could look at implementing into our sport. But this, you know, right now we're just going to take this one little piece and say, all right, let's look at some jumps and figure out ways to make them safer. That's really what this task force is aiming for.
Very good. Well, thank you both very much for coming on the show this week and sharing this news with us. And they can find more information, of course, on the website at useventing.com and indeed write to the USEA with any comments or suggestions they may have for the task force.
Definitely.
John, Sarah, John, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And that's it for this week. On next week's episode, we're going to continue the countdown to this year's Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games by taking a look back at some of the past events and hearing from some of the team members and medalists. So do join me again. In the meantime, be sure to visit the Facebook page at United States Eventing Association and follow on Twitter at US Eventing. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.